Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to give you a perspective of what's really happening in these current last days. It may be the most offensive message you've ever heard. I hope not, but it might be. However, I think there might be a few people who would like some straight answers, so I'm going to say some things pretty much point blank. The world is in a bad way, and if someone doesn't say these things, then how is anyone going to know what is really going on? Some of the things I will mention may be difficult to understand, but I'm not going to go into much detail about any one thing. Therefore, if you hear something interesting, give us a call or write to us and ask for more info on that particular thing. I'll try to answer your questions, or I can send you other messages which deal more fully with that particular subject. So anyway, try not to be offended, but please realize that what I'm saying may not be just a message to those sinners in some other church, but it may be a message for you too. Here goes. Right now, at this very time in history, we are experiencing the Great Tribulation. This isn't a tribulation against our flesh, but it is a tribulation against our very souls. Christians have always been physically persecuted, and many Christians have been martyred for their faith. But in these last days, what Satan is doing is more than destroying our bodies. He is trying to destroy our souls. There is such a distortion of God's word out there that Christians are being robbed of their understanding of the true gospel of Christ. The true gospel of Christ is a gospel of salvation which includes the separating of ourselves from the things of this world. In the church today, there is a great emphasis on being materially blessed instead of an emphasis on dying out to the flesh. Our baptism in water, which is supposed to be a demonstration of our intent to die out to the old man of the flesh, has evolved into a demonstration of just being washed from our sins. Our sins certainly are washed away, but they are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ when we immerse ourselves in water. The cleansing is not by the washing of water, but by the blood of Christ. In order to be purified by the blood of Jesus, we have to strive to crucify our old man of the flesh, not live for the stimulation of the delicate things of earth. Once again, I will quote Colossians 3:2, which says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Also, 1 John 2:15 tells us not to love the world or the things in the world. Isn't it interesting that there are preachers out there that continually teach Christians that God wants them to have nice things? If this is so, then why is God saying in this verse that we are not to love the things of this world? Why would God say that He wants you to have nice things and at the same time tell you not to set your affection on these things? You see, Satan can only tempt us with things of this world. That's all he has to work with. If you set your affections on things of this world, then you are giving in to Satan. You are lifting him up instead of lifting God up. The real persecution against Christians is against our minds. It is a battle for the minds of the people. Christians will always experience tribulation against their bodies, but the reason that the end-time tribulation is called the Great Tribulation is that this tribulation won't just kill your body, but it will kill your soul. It will destroy your faith in God by giving you other things to occupy your mind. The mind is Satan's battleground. Now, Revelation 13 tells us that the people of earth will create an image of the beast, and that this image will speak. Think about it. This isn't something that's coming in the future, but it's already here now. The people of earth have created television and movies. The images portray the nature of the beast instead of the nature of righteousness. And the images also speak. Think about it just a little bit, and you may begin to see it. In addition, this beast nature will cause people to be marked with the spiritual mark of ownership, which is either the name of wickedness, the mark of wickedness, or the number of wickedness, which is 666. This spiritual mark, which is not a physical mark, will show that the person is owned by Satan. The people of God are at great risk in these end times. Our children are especially at risk because they are being programmed by the imagery of the nature of the beast before they are even old enough to go to school. However, the solution to overcoming the temptations of television, movies, and other media imaging sources is to reject them. The choice that Christians need to make is to come out from among the wickedness and separate yourself. 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." But Christians are not being told to come out of the world and to be a separate people. They are being told that they can continue to live according to the beast nature, just like everyone else, as long as they don't drink, smoke, or chew. Believe me, the gospel of Christ is a lot more than don't do this and don't do that. The gospel of Christ calls for a separation of God's people. It calls his people to come away from the lifestyle of the world and to live a lifestyle of humility and service. But the people of earth are trying to exalt themselves instead of exalting God. In the beginning, there was rebellion against God when the people of Babylon built a tower. This Tower of Babel was a movement which was meant to exalt the people by using physical means, by using the natural building blocks of earth. This was Satan's initial attempt to bring all people together in order to build a world empire which could exalt itself against the righteousness of God. God caused a separation of those people by confusing their language. However, in these last days, the Tower of Babylon is being rebuilt again. No, not the physical tower, but the spiritual equivalent. As in all scripture, first comes the physical, and then comes the spiritual. The first tower was physical, in a central location, and the people were united in purpose. In these last days, the second Tower of Babel is being built, but this tower is a unified effort by the whole earth, using earth's powers to oppose the Word of God. It is the secular powers of this world which are trying to reunite the people and to create a world kingdom which will exalt the people of earth without using the power of God. The power that the world is using is physical power, and this physical power is symbolized in Revelation 13 as electricity. The harnessing of electricity brought this fire of the heavens down to earth. When man harnessed electricity, he began to increase his power. Since the discovery of this fire of the heavens and its ability to empower the people of earth, there have been major gains in the end-time attempt to rebuild the Tower of Babel. This tower is not made with bricks and mortar, but is the spiritual equivalent. In order to see the Tower of Babel today, you have to see it from the overall perspective of electricity, computers, biological science, mechanical invention, and cloning. Mankind is in the very process of creating the greatest platform ever conceived. This scientific and technological platform is intended to exalt man and not God. Mankind is gearing up to lift himself up to the heights of the stars in order to make a name for himself. And Satan is at the bottom of this by pushing the people of earth to give in to the beast nature. King Nebuchadnezzar, in the book of Daniel, is the symbolic equivalent of Satan. Once again, we see Babylon in the forefront, as King Nebuchadnezzar claimed to have established a kingdom by his own might and power. He attributed his kingdom to his own strength, to his own ability. This was, of course, stupid. As the Bible clearly tells us in Romans 13:1, that there is no power that exists except the power that God gives. God's power is the only power that exists. When someone begins to think that they are accomplishing something by their own might and power instead of by God's power, then that person has shown himself to be as stupid as a brute beast. This is the beast nature, and this is what the Bible refers to in Revelation 13 when it talks about the beast. When Nebuchadnezzar claimed that his kingdom was of his own making, God turned him into a beast for a short period of time in order for King Nebuchadnezzar to come to the realization that there is no power but that which comes from God. The beast nature first rose up in Satan in his act of rebellion against God. Satan rebelled against God, thinking that he could establish a kingdom by the might and power of his own hand instead of relying on God. Satan's action was stupid, just like a brute beast is stupid. God used King Nebuchadnezzar to demonstrate Satan's initial foolishness. And this is what happens to every person who thinks that there is a way to exist in this universe without God's provision. Now, we don't have to look very hard to see that the world, in these last days, is fast coming to the unified agreement that they can establish themselves on earth as a kingdom without God. They think that their ability to manipulate the electricity that comes from the fire of the heaven is sufficient to extend their lives eternally. But they don't look to the God of heaven to do this. In this sense, the people of today are building the Tower of Babel all over again. They too intend to make a name for themselves, and they too think that man can overcome the grave and live forever if they can just make enough scientific discoveries to bring an end to disease and the aging process. But mankind was never intended to bring about eternal life with the strength of their own hands. It is God who is the power, not man. But the people of earth who reject God are acting just as ignorant as the beasts of the earth act. They don't realize that they are just animals and that animals are made to be taken and killed. Just as we use animals for our food, God wants us to realize that those who act like beasts will not be accepted as sons of God. The only people who will become sons of God are those who realize that God is the Almighty God and that humans are only beasts of the earth unless they learn to appreciate God's word and then stand up on their feet like men instead of going on all fours and acting like beasts. Four-legged animals do not stand on 2 feet. Four-legged animals eat other animals or get eaten by other animals. It is humans who are given the opportunity to know God, and people who reject the absolute power of God in exchange for their own glory are only demonstrating that they too are just brute beasts. The beast nature has emerged in these last days in a much greater way than ever before. The image of the beast is displayed constantly by the TV and movies, and people sit and watch the animal nature, and after a while, they start acting like animals themselves. God wants his people to realize that it is only by relying on the ultimate power of God that we can be saved. The world would have us think that God's day is over, and now it is time for the people of earth to exalt themselves and forget about all this God stuff. But God will not be erased from the equation. God is almighty, and he will only wait so long before he rises up and brings people to their senses, and then the mystery of God will be over. Just as King Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses after seven times passed over him, so will the beasts of the earth come to their senses after God's seven times have passed over them. But for the beasts of the earth, it will be too late. The only ones who are going to be saved are those who make Jesus Christ Lord. And to make Jesus Christ Lord means to turn away from the fleshly appetites of this world and to be born again in spirit. It is time for Christians to come out from among the wickedness of this world and be a truly separate people. The Bible tells us that we should be beheaded. This is found in Revelation chapter 20. It is also referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it tells us that we are to let Christ be our head instead of being our own head. True Christians are beheaded in order to give testimony of Jesus Christ and to the greatness of God. These same verses tell us that the head of Christ is God. Just as Jesus allowed God to be his complete authority, so should we allow Christ to be our complete authority. But living high on the hog is not the same thing as allowing Christ to be our complete authority. Now, the only person who was ever perfect was Jesus. He was flesh and blood, yet he lived a perfect life. The thing that made him perfect was not just that he didn't drink, smoke, or chew, but that he also didn't do his own will. In order to be perfect, Jesus had to do more than to keep from being a glutton and a drunkard. He had to keep himself from saying anything or doing anything that was not the actual will of God. Therefore, he didn't speak his own words, but only spoke those words that the Father wanted him to say. He didn't do what he wanted to do. He did what the Father wanted him to do. In every way, Jesus conformed to the exact will of the Father. This is what made Jesus perfect. Isn't it interesting that Christians have been given the impression that if they just don't smoke, drink, or chew, or some of the other significant sins, that they will be considered children of God? But being children of God isn't just not doing this and not doing that. The real test of whether or not a person is a child of God is whether or not he does what God wants him to do. We can't live out our lives by going after the delicacies of the flesh and still think that this is God's will. God's will is for Christians to set their affections on things above. You can't set your affections on things of the earth and at the same time be accomplishing God's will. If God's will is to die out to the flesh, then to glory in the things that stimulate the flesh is totally against the will of God. Jesus was perfect. Therefore, he is the only person who can enter into the presence of God. The rest of us are not perfect, and therefore we cannot enter into the presence of God. God cannot look upon sin. Therefore, we cannot come into his presence because we have sin in our lives. So, In order to come into the presence of God, we must get rid of our own selves and become part of the body of Christ. By being in Christ, we can then enter with Christ into the presence of God. It is really that simple. Either you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you stay in your fleshly body. If you stay in your fleshly body, just remember that 1 Corinthians 15:50 tells us that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you're going to demonstrate the beast nature every day, don't expect to go to heaven as part of the body of Christ. Beasts don't equate with the sons of God. Beasts are made so that at the end of the world, they can be taken and killed. However, we who are sons of God will enter into the kingdom and live with Christ forever.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Right now, at this present time, Christians are being attacked like never before. Not only is the world being brainwashed every day by television's presentation of the beast nature, but Christians are especially prone to this last and greatest tribulation because Satan is not only operating in the world, but is also operating in the church. In case you didn't notice it before, the system of Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests is not just a thing of yesteryear. It's happening in this present day also. Many of today's churches are so socialized that people only hear sermons that are milk. Many sermons tell people lots of things, but they don't tell people to come out from among the world and to be a separate people. Sad to say, in many churches, there is more concern for the size of the congregation and the size of the offerings than there is for the poor sheep who are looking for something really good to eat. But you know, it's a well-known fact in some circles that if you tell the people the truth, they won't stick around very long. What happens much of the time in these last days is that people are given just enough of the gospel to make them think they're okay if they just don't drink, smoke, or chew, but not enough gospel to make them be sold out to Christ. But being sold out to Christ is what we're called to be. We were meant to be a peculiar people who love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our might. This means that God becomes the very center of your life. But many Christians are being taught that God is just a part of your world and that He is there to help you get what you want out of life. But God isn't your big daddy. He is the Almighty God, and He is a jealous God. He doesn't want people loving the world and the things in the world. He wants His people to love Him and to demonstrate it by seeking those things which are above instead of continually reveling in those things of science and technology. I see Christians all the time who get more excited about new gadgets on the market than they do about Jesus. If Jesus is the most important thing in your life, how come you don't get excited about Him? How come you don't keep bringing Him up in your conversation? How come you have to be busy at every sport and hobby, but are never much interested in heavenly things? Do you dress to be seen, or do you dress so that Jesus can be seen? Do you want others to notice you, or do you want others to notice Jesus? If you're part of the body of Christ, then how can Jesus be seen in you if you keep drawing attention to yourself? You show up for church dressed fit to kill, and the only thing that people see is you. This isn't giving the spotlight to Jesus. It is shining the spotlight on you. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow in this present life, you will sooner or later reap. If you sow righteousness and humility, then you will reap the rewards of righteousness and humility. If you sow the works of the flesh, then you will reap the rewards of the flesh, and the reward of the flesh is death.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 158, In These Last Days. We also have information on such topics as the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the rapture. As always, there is no charge for any of our material. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.